today. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. You better tell your neighbor, I got to get a little Holy Ghost room. I may have a breakout in this service today. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 22. Glad everybody is in the house of the Lord today. Why don't you turn around to that person next to you, beside you, in front of you, and just say, I'm glad you got to sit by me today, as I'm looking good today. Amen. And if there's nobody sitting by, just tell yourself, I'm glad I got to sit by me today. Hallelujah. Amen. That's okay. Amen. I'm in good company. Praise God. John chapter 21, verse number 15. I've got a little bit more of a voice today. Thank you, Brother Rudy, for praying for me. Hallelujah. There's power in your prayer. Bible says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lamb, or feed my sheep. Look to that person next to you and say, we got a job to do. We got to feed God's sheep. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. There is no doubt that this is a very familiar passage of Scripture where we find Jesus asking his disciple Peter, Peter, do you love me? Now, I've heard that a few times. Baby, do you love me? Could you make me some coffee? Could you get me some water? And today I was being a little ornery when my wife asked me, could you get me a chocolate rice cake? And I said, I love you, but I'm not going to get it. And before you throw stones at Pastor, I did make her lunch today. I made her teppanyaki, chicken, mushrooms, bell peppers, broccoli, jalapenos, as we like it spicy. And it was good. And I do feel bad today that I didn't get her a chocolate Rice Krispie. Maybe we'll get that tonight. Amen. But we know that the Lord looked at Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? And three times. It'd be once if he asked you just once. But he asked him three times the same identical question. And every time Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. But on the very last time, the scripture even lets us know, because I think Peter got a little grieved by the question, the fact that he finally responds this way, Lord, you knoweth all things. You know everything about me. You know my heart. You know my thoughts. And you even know the intents of the heart. You know that I love you. And Jesus replies, feed my sheep. Matthew 4:18, this is the first time that Jesus encounters Peter in Matthew 4. He says that he was walking by the Sea of Galilee and saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. They were fishermen. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so the very first encounter, we find that Jesus informed him that if he would just follow him, that he would turn him in to become a fisher of men. Not a keeper of an aquarium, but Jesus said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men.
If you'll just follow me. Can I tell you, something wonderful happens. Something supernatural begins to transpire when you just begin to follow God. Words can't describe, it's even difficult to explain it, but something supernatural begins to take place when you come in contact with this Jesus of Nazareth. When you come in contact with the creator of this world, something begins to change in you. You know what I'm talking about. We talked about it even Sunday night, of a God that is a God of miracles. And when you get in contact with him, Brother Patrick, you can't just sit there. Brother Joseph, you got to turn around. You got to do something. You got to clap your hands. You got to run. You got to jump. You got to shout. Something magnificent begins to happen when you come in contact with Jesus. You don't talk the same way. You don't act the same way. You don't dress the same way. You don't even look the same way, because when you come in contact with the great I Am, something wonderful begins to unfold, and that begins to, old things begin to pass away and all things become new. Has it ever happened to you that you've seen somebody in your past and it's been 5-10 years that have rolled around and they're like, there's something different about you. You don't look the same way. There is an aura about you. And I'm telling you, when you get in contact with Jesus, everything begins to change. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. You used to walk around with a frown on your face, but there's no frown anymore. There's a smile on you. You used to close the door right behind you, but now you open the doors up for strangers and you say something nice. It's good to see you. There's something wonderful that happens when you come in contact with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm glad that God walked in on the scene of my life. Jeremiah responds it this way. He said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. And when I come on a Sunday night, I can't just sit there. I can't just give him a golf clap. But I've got to sing it loud and I've got to sing it proud, because Jesus is a great God. Can I tell you, this Holy Ghost will make you run. This Holy Ghost will make you jump off a stage. And if you're not careful, it may tweak your knee. It may send you to a hospital room. And they may look at you and ask you the question, what happened to you? And you said, I was running the aisles. And they respond, what aisle? That's what happened to Brother Landry. And the enemy said, you'll never run again. You'll never shout again. But wasn't it last Sunday night, or the Sunday night prior, and I saw him take a couple laps in the sanctuary? I'm telling you, when Jesus gets a hold of you, you act a little different. When the Holy Ghost gets inside of you, you've got to clap, you've got to run, you've got to shout, you've got to roll, you've got to do whatever you can to give God praise. The world can't understand it, because they think that you've gone loco. Loco in the cabeza. And they're like, what in the world? Why is he running? Why is he shouting? Why is he crying and have a smile on his face? World doesn't understand it. But I don't understand them sometimes. I don't understand how they could spend thousands of dollars waiting lines, being in a crowded 40,000, 50,000, 60,000 stadium and everybody screaming because somebody carried a pigskin across an end zone, because somebody hit a ball over a fence, because somebody slam dunked it on somebody else, and they slap high fives and they hug people they don't know. And we, in their eyes, are crazy. I don't think, well, let me just back up. I believe that there are fans in this building tonight. And I'm not going to make you feel bad if you have one team that you like over the next, because I'm sure we've got Raiders fans in here. I'm sure we've got Dodgers fans in here. I'm sure we got Giants fans in here. You got the Holy Ghost, you've seen through. You got Lakers, and you've got LeBron lovers, and you've got Warriors, and whatever that is. But I've never heard it where you have been in a stadium and you've been to a game and you clapped, and all of a sudden LeBron James said, "Hey man, thanks for coming to my game. Thanks for driving all that way. Thanks for spending all that dough. Thank you for clapping when I scored." I don't think Steph Curry ever just said, "Hey Eddie, thanks for showing up when I splashed that three-pointer." Matter of fact, I don't even think they know your name. And yet there are people that are so fanatical about their teams that they get excited and they get discouraged when their team wins or their team loses. And they think we're crazy because there is a God, a mighty God, a everlasting Father, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Great I Am, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Prince. They think we're crazy when we raise our hands and raise our voice. They just don't know that a king knows my name. They just don't know that an everlasting Father knows everything about me. They just don't know about a daddy, a heavenly daddy that has made a way where there seemed to be no way. They just can't comprehend of a God that's taken the bottle away, the drugs away, of a God that's gave me a brand new life. You clap if you want to over your favorite sports team, but as a pastor, as a man, I'm going to give my praise and my worship and my adoration, hallelujah, to the King that knows me. And can I go a step further? Not only am I a fan of God, but he's a fan of me. That's pretty cool. Can I just let you know? He's not just a fan of me, but he's a fan of you. He knows everything about you. I'm glad you're home. Hallelujah. He's in my wedding 22 years ago, looking suave. Hallelujah. I've got pictures to show it. Guess what? He's a fan of you. He knows everything about you. He knows your hurts. He knows your disappointments. He knows what you're up against. But he's a God that doesn't sleep on the job. But he's a God that rolls up his sleeves and say, "Hey, I'm as close
at the mention of my name, ask whatever you will, and you shall get it. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Whatever you need, there's a God that says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for. He's a fan of you. You want to clap your hands and say, thank God that he's a fan of me. You know what else he gives me? He gives me joy. Joy, the Bible says, unspeakable joy and full of glory. I think I taught a lesson before about joy. You see, peace, we all like peace. We like joy. We like happiness. How many likes to be happy? The pursuit of happiness. The world's thought, the world's plan of the pursuit of happiness is all equal to what you can get on the material side. If you can get a new car, a new home, if you can get a better job, you can get more money, you can get, that's the pursuit of happiness. Isn't there a bumper sticker that says, he that dies with the most toys wins? What did he win? He's still dead. Matter of fact, there was a guy that was being lowered. His desire was to put him in a pink Cadillac and lower him down into the grave. And one guy, an onlooker, said, wow, that's really living. He's dead. And so the world's thought is, if the pursuit of happiness is defined by how much money I have in my bank account, then that means if I don't have any money in my bank account, I don't have happiness. Happiness is external, but joy is internal. That's why the world, again, doesn't understand. When all hell is coming against me and I raise my hand, the world doesn't understand when I've got pain in my body, but I still come to church. Why? Because I've got a God that dwells on the inside of this temple. I've got a God that's given me joy in good times, but also in the bad times. When everything's going right and when everything's falling apart, God still gives me joy. The world didn't give it to me, but the world can't take it away. And all this happens when you come in contact with Jesus. I am a firm believer. It just takes somebody one service, one Holy Ghost divine intervention. It'll turn your life around. It'll change things about you. Now listen, here's a 411. If you don't want to change, guess what? God won't make you. If you decide, I don't want to listen to this, I don't want to live this way, God says, okay, it hurts him. That's why the word of God says, what is God's will? What's that, Brother Patrick? None should perish. But you know what that means? There will be those that perish. Is it God's fault? No. His will is that none should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. Things happen when you begin to get in contact with Jesus. That's what happened in verse 20. Peter gets in contact with Jesus. And Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And verse 20, the Bible says, and straightway left their nets and followed him. They left their nets. They left their worldly possessions. They dropped them just like that. Now, this was before Jesus asked the question, lovest thou me? This was before Jesus told Peter to feed my sheep. As we must first go back a few chapters to find out what happened and what transpired. We must go back to the 19th chapter to his crucifixion.
We must go back to verse 17 of the 19th chapter. The Bible says, and he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two of the other with him on either side of one. And Jesus in the midst, verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled that saith, I thirst. Now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Verse 32, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first which and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Verse 40, and then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein no man was ever laid. And there they laid Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews, preparation day for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Just a few chapters earlier, just a few weeks ago, Jesus gave his life at Calvary. And what a price he paid. What a sacrifice, Brother McIntosh, that he paid for us. Isaiah penned it with these words in Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Thank God for that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Can I just tell you tonight, on a Sunday night, thank God for the price he paid for us. Thank God for Calvary. You're here and I'm here today because of the price that he paid, and what he did at Calvary is greater than any sin that I've ever committed, and I thank God for that. There is no mistake, there is no failure that you've ever made is greater than Calvary. Calvary is greater. And all this happened. Calvary just passed a few weeks ago, and I'm glad it didn't stop there. But just 3 days later, 3 days after they crucified our Lord and Savior, 3 days later, we find Mary going to the tomb, and the stone rolled away, and the body was gone. And we find her in John chapter 20, verse 2. She runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, which was John, and saith unto him, they've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. And verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. But yet Jesus knew her. And there are moments in your life when you may not see him, but he always sees you. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Hello, She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. At that very moment, she stood toe to toe with a risen Savior. Jesus was no longer dead, but he was alive. And in verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto him, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They were amazed. Jesus was with him. This was not a dream, but it was real. And verse 26, after 8 days, again with his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And then said Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed, but blessed are they that have not seen, and yet they have believed. And the Bible says in verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. What's all this mean? We know the story. But what is significant about this, that over 2 weeks after his resurrection, he appears countless times unto his disciples. He performs many signs and miracles, many wonders that are not even in this book recorded. He did it in the midst. He lets them know that he's not dead. He lets them know that the death could not stop him. He lets them know that grave cannot hold him. He lets them know that all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. He conquers death, hell, and the grave. He shows them all this. And yet we find Peter and we find Thomas and we find Nathan and the sons of Zebedee out fishing again. After the resurrection, after the miracles, after Peter's denial, and Jesus brings them back to the fold, after all this, they went back to their old ways. They went back to their old lifestyle, their old environment, doing what they've always done. Simon Peter said to him, I go a fishing. And they said to him, we also go a thief. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. What in the world are you thinking, Peter? What's going through your mind? He's given you a second chance. You're already beyond that. You've just witnessed the impossible. Why are you fishing? Why aren't you running through the street screaming, he's alive? Why aren't you telling people about this Jesus that has conquered death, hell, and the grave? Peter, why are you fishing? ALC, Abundant Life Center, we cannot afford to go backward. We must not stop this. God's been good to us. God has blessed us with so much. And how dare we become complacent? How dare we go back to our old way of life, our old way of thinking, business as usual? How dare we do that? I hear a God in the background
background, I hear the voice of the Lord saying, lovest thou me? Do you really love me? I hear him saying, if you love me, you've got to follow me. But not only follow me, you've got to feed my sheep. You got to get this word out to this city. Is there anybody that loves him tonight? Is there anybody willing to get this out? I'm not here to condemn anybody. We've been doing good. God has blessed us. But we better not sit back and think that we've arrived. We have achieved. We have weathered the storm. How dare we hide this gospel? Bible says if we hide this gospel, it's hid to them that are lost. We've got a job to do. We've got a duty. We've got an obligation. We've got to somehow run through our city, run through our streets, and let this world know what God has done for us. God has put your marriage back together. He's taken the bottle away. He's taken the drugs away. He's taken the hate away. He's taken the loneliness and the guilt and the depression and the anxiety and the stress. He's taken that away. How dare we sit back and get complacent? We've got to run out to this city and say, come, come see a man that has shown me all that I've ever done. We've got a job to do. ALC, lovest thou me? Peter said, you know all things, God. You know that I love you. You know I come on Sunday night. You know I come on Sunday morning. You know I bring my tithe to you. You know I bring an offering to you. Didn't you see me run? Didn't you see me jump? Didn't you see me shout? I thank God for this. I thank God for what we felt here tonight. But you look in this word of God. How many miracles and signs and wonders did God do in the synagogue and in the sanctuary? How many miracles did the disciples do in the synagogue? We know they went to the house of God and prayed. We know they went to the house of God and heard the word. But all their stuff, they did out there. They went out there and they brought them in. What did they do to the man that was lame at the gate beautiful when he was looking for alms? He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Rise up in the name. He did that outside the building. And the Bible says that that man went into the synagogue, leaping and praising and worshiping God. Thank God for his blessings and his provisions. But we got to get this out there. I was talking with Brother Garcia earlier this morning, and I felt this for some time. Time to say, God, I'm going to put you back where you belong, and I need to die out to the flesh. Yes, pastor needs to die out. And I told God, God, I'm going to do my best. I don't have a lot to offer, but God, what I do, I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to spend this week in prayer, and I'm going to push that plate away. I don't know how many days I'm going to go, but I'm hungry for this. Bible says, howbeit these things come but by prayer and fasting. I don't know how many doors are in Tulare. I know there's over 75,000 people in Tulare, and I could tell you that we haven't knocked on every door, but I'm praying for the day that it be said of us in this church that we've knocked on every door in Tulare a few times. I believe we can do that. I believe we can get this gospel out. I believe there's so much bad news and fake news out there that there's people literally hungry and thirsty to hear the good news of the gospel.
And I was talking to my wife, and I said, baby, I want to reach our world. And could it be that, you know, we want to save a multitude, but why not just focus on one? Why not set a goal that we can attain? If every one of us knocked on five doors a week, every one of us. I had this equation. We've got over 75, I believe, families here at Abundant Life Center, maybe a little bit more. But if we just had 20 of the 70 knock 5 doors a week, that'd be 100 doors in a week. That would be 400 doors in a month. That would be 4,800 doors in a year. I believe we can do this. And I don't know what it is. I know where God has placed me, and we're going to make this strategic. And I know this is almost like teaching, but it's okay because we got to get this out. We've got to get a burden for this. We've got to go about doing the work of God. Thank God for church. I love church. I love the presence of God. But woe be unto me if I sit back and I'm just comfortable with what God's given me. I want there to be others that will sit down in a pew and God does the same thing that he did for me. I know what my approach is going to be. I told my wife this. I'm going to start at my block. I'm going to start at my neighborhood. And it's a shame that in my block, I've been there 3 years on my road, and I only know four of my neighbors on my road. And I'm going to knock on their door, and I'm going to say, please forgive me. It has taken me 3 years to come to your door. But I want to invite you to an Abundant Life Center. If there's anything that I can pray for, I'd love to pray for you. And you know what? I want to give them something. And I haven't thought about what that is. Either 3 or 4 cookies, chocolate chip cookies, or make them some homemade salsa. And say, would you give that on there? And maybe put a sticker on there, Sister Philpott, where David said, oh, taste and see the Lord God is good. Put that taste tester on there. And say, you think this was good? Wait till you come to ALC. Wait till you feel the power and the presence of God. But it's going to take some men, it's going to take some women, some young men and some young ladies to buy into this vision, to say, you know what? I'd like to fill up my pew. I'd like to invite somebody to the house of God. I'd like for God to radically change their lives like he did my life. Every one of you have a sphere of influence in your life where you can at least give them what God has given to you. What's the word of God say? We're saved by the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of our testimony. You don't have to know every word, Sister Darlene, out of this Bible, but you could just say, you know what? Jesus loves you. And if you just come to church, Bible says we water and we plant, but it's God that gives the increase. And I feel there's a world that needs this. Anybody hungry for this tonight? Would anybody just lift up your voice right now and just say, God, I don't have a lot to offer, but God, I'm going to give you everything I've got. I'm going to give you my hands. I'm going to give you my feet. I'm going to give you my lips. God, I pray tonight that you'd place a burden inside my spirit. A burden for this world, a burden for this city, a passion, God, to tell somebody about your gospel, your good news, to give somebody what you've given to me. I don't want to go back fishing. I don't want to go back to my old way of life and the old way of doing things. I don't want to be complacent, but God, tonight, birth it in my spirit. Birth it in my soul.
Oh, would you lift your voice in this house tonight? Come on, would you lift your voice in this house tonight? Oh, would somebody just forget about what you're going to do this week and forget about your time right now. And could you just begin to pray, God, let me give myself to this. Let me buy into this. God, let me somehow get it in my spirit. I've got friends that need this. I've got family that needs this. I know that time is just about to wrap up and you're going to call this church home, and I've got to be busy. I've got to get out there to the highways and byways, and I've got to compel them. Lovest thou me, ALC, lovest thou me. Sharakaya Tora Yanda Yasi Ikaya Raso Rakaya Yara Yanda Yako. Help us, God, tonight. Thank you for all the miracles. Thank you for all the signs and the wonders that you've done for us. But God, let us get it out there. Oh, would you lift your voice right now? Oh, God. Come on, we can do this. Come on, we can turn our city upside down. I just need a few men and a few women that'll say, Pastor, you can count on me. Pastor, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Sharayanda yakorasi. Shatarayanda yakorasi. Hasharayara korasa. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel a call to prayer. I feel an old-fashioned prayer beginning to erupt in this house tonight. If you want to just turn around to that pew and make that your altar, if you want to come down here and kneel at these altars, whatever you got to do, because God's asking you, lovest thou me? If you'll hear that, say, Lord, you know I love you. He's going to say, feed my sheep. Find somebody to share this with. Oh, would you lift your voice in this house? I've got friends that need this, God. I've got family that need this, God. I've got neighbors all around me. Let me knock on a neighbor's door. Give me wisdom beyond my own understanding. Give me favor that only comes from you. Anoint these hands, anoint these lips. Oh God. Oh God. Sharayanaya korasi. Sharakaya raso. Hallelujah. 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 Oh God. Oh. Come on, if he could touch you, he could touch others. If he could save you, he could save a multitude. If he could turn your life around, he could turn them around. They're not too far gone. They're just waiting on you. Oh, God. Speak to us, God, tonight. Speak to us, God, tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You gave me my hand to reach out to men, to show him your love and your perfect plan.
The task
you gave me my ears. I can hear your voice so clear. I can hear the cries of sinners, but can I wipe away their tears? Have been broken, so many people to be freed. And Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say.
Let this be your prayer. Sing it to him.
To show someone the way and enable me to say, my storehouse is empty and I am available to you.
We have a job to do. We focus on 75,000 plus population in Tulare, the task will become daunting. And so I'm not telling you to focus on 75,000. Focus on that one door that hopefully you could commit 5 doors a week, knocking on the door. Hello, I'm with the Abundant Life Center. I just want to stop, number one, to say I love you. I'm your neighbor. If there's everything you need for me to pray about, I'm here for you. Matter of fact, I can pray now. If you've ever wanted to learn more about the Bible, I could teach you a Bible study. I'd love for you to be my guest. And you hand them a flyer. And we're going to work on that, Sister Philpott. We're going to work on something simple, something catchy. We can just hand out. And then maybe, whatever your gift is, cookies or salsa, if you did 5 homes a week, that's 15 cookies. Who's ever said no to a hot, moist, chocolate dripping cookie? And with that tag on it, oh, taste and see, the Lord God is good. I believe we can do this. I believe that God would be pleased in this. And there's something powerful about going out, because the Lord says, I'm going to start saving those that should be saved daily. Our waters will be troubled. Our altars will be full of people getting what you have. I don't know about you tonight, but God's been good to me. God's been great to me. That's why even last Wednesday I was going a different direction, and God says, put the brakes on. Give me thanks. If we'll just stop and just give thanks. You know what? God's done good for me. That could be your starting point. But for me, I said, we're going to go after our neighborhoods. And after we go after the hoods, then we'll be intentional on mapping every door out. But wouldn't it be cool at least to do your block and say, hey, I'm just around the corner. I'd love for you to be here. God said, I don't want you to be a hearer of the word, but I want you to be a doer of the word. And this message tonight is for you to put into action. Maybe we'll have a sign-up sheet. And I was even brainstorming with you, Brother Garcia. Number one, every department at ALC should be about outreach. Should be about soul winning. Every department should co-mingle with outreach. But we got to be intentional about this. But I thought it'd be kind of cool to even have a praise board. You just did 5 doors a week. And who knows? You had 4 doors shut in your face, but you had 1 open up. And you prayed for them. And the power of God fell. And God did a miracle. You do that, guess what? You can't wait to get to another door. But listen, if 4 doors are closed in your face, that's 12 more chocolate chip cookies you get to give out. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your challenge, God. We thank you for the incredible price that you paid in our lives. And God, as we freely receive, we want to freely give. We want to give this out. I pray you'd bless our efforts, God. I pray your hand would fall on us. I pray that mighty signs, miracles, wonders will begin to follow. In the name of the Lord, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, clap your hands unto the Lord.